So today I want to speak on a life of peace. That's very important in the world in which we live. Because Jesus said there's going to be a lot of unrest in the world as we approach the end of time. And we need to have peace in two areas. Actually in three areas: towards God, inwardly, and towards people. Towards God we have peace. We've often spoken about that, by keeping a clear conscience. If you don't have a clear conscience, you don't have peace with God. And the way to have a clear conscience is by being absolutely honest about your sin and never blaming anybody else but you. Otherwise, you won't have a clear conscience. I'll tell you that. Very often, even when we acknowledge sin, we may put a little bit of the blame on somebody else, your wife, husband, neighbor, some brother, etc. He provoked me. But so what? He provoked you. Do you know how many people provoked Jesus Christ? But he never sinned. So never make the excuse, "But he provoked me." That is the excuse of four-year-old children. We're not to be like four-year-old children saying, "He provoked me, he hit me, so I hit him." No. The provocation of others is allowed by God to test you. Do you have this wonderful life in Christ that you boast about? You go and listen to so many messages on the deeper life, but here somebody provokes you and you get upset. Even if you don't hit him back like the worldly people, you get all irritated inside. This year, we're going to come to peace. We're going to not blame other people, we're going to blame ourselves and say, "Lord, I still need to overcome here. And I want to confess my sin." I'll tell you this, many people, please listen to me. There are many of you who are seeking a life of constant victory over conscious sin. I want to tell you in Jesus' name, it is possible. It is possible because I have experienced it. I know people have experienced it. Unconscious sin, we will get more and more light on. But conscious sin, we can have victory. That failure and fall is so rare. But that will come only if you take the first step of honestly acknowledging your failure and your sin. And I believe the reason why many people do not come into that life of victory is because they don't honestly acknowledge their own failure and their own sin. They always put part of the blame on somebody else. You keep doing that this year, I can give it to you in writing, you'll never get victory by the end of the year, because you're always putting part of the blame on somebody else. Can we live a life this year without putting the blame on anybody else and say, "Yeah, I have failed"? Even if 90% of the blame is somebody else's, forget it. That's for God to judge. Let's take that 10% of the blame and say, "Lord, there is something wrong in me too. I want to confess that. I don't want to confess somebody else's sin. I want to confess my own." To blame others is to confess somebody else's sin. And the Bible has never told us to confess other people's sins. But that is what blaming others means. I'm confessing somebody else's sin to God. You'll never get victory. Forget that. Say, "Lord, there's something in me too." And then I can have a clear conscience before God, because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And I'll tell you another helpful thing to get victory. I mentioned this before. You must call sin by the dirtiest, filthiest, wickedest name you can ever call it. If you looked at a dirty, lust-provoking picture of a woman, say, "Lord, I had adultery with that woman. I'm so sorry." You may have looked at it only for 5 seconds. You clicked on an internet pornography site. Go before God and say, "God, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to be a Christian. Here I go sleeping around with some woman." Call it that. Don't say, "I just slipped up." No, you didn't slip up. You committed adultery. Because you haven't called it that so far, you're still defeated. When you get angry with your wife, you say, "Lord, I murdered my wife today. I stabbed her. Forgive me for stabbing my wife." Have you ever said that when you got angry with your wife or husband? No. Say, "Lord, I took a dagger and dug it into her heart with those words. Please forgive me." You try that. call sin by the worst name possible, because Jesus told us that. So the Old Testament, they said murder. I say don't be angry. The Old Testament, they said don't commit adultery. I say don't lust with your eyes. And when you've told a small lie, don't say it's a small thing. There's no such thing as a small sin before God. It's like saying that vessel has only got a small hole. So what? You can't pour any liquid into it. Small sin? Every sin is big before God because it's a disobedience to Almighty God. So when we think of something as small, we'll never get victory over it. I believe many of us sitting here think anger is a very small thing. Well, as long as you keep thinking like that, I can prophesy that in 50 years you won't get victory over it. Some of us think lusting with our eyes is a small thing. Well, you won't get victory even when you're 90 years old. You'll be still lusting. Because you think something is small, it's not small. We've got to see sin the way God sees it. Then our conscience will be clear. We confess it. Lord, it's a sin. It's a violation of your law. It's doing something contrary to you. It's slapping God in the face and saying, God, I'm not going to obey your commands. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me. Call sin by the most terrible name you can call it this year. And ask Jesus to cleanse you in His blood, and then believe that the power of His blood is greater than the sin you committed. See, once you've really confessed your sin to God and not blamed anybody else, called sin by the worst possible name you could, after that, and asked Jesus to cleanse you, then the devil's next tactic is to try and get you doubt whether God's forgiven you. No, that was terrible, God. And no, you got to tell the devil by the word of your testimony, the blood of Jesus has cleansed me. I'm clean. And God doesn't remember my sin anymore. I stand before God with peace. So this is very important. If you want to have a life of peace this year, you must, first of all, in a vertical relationship with God, have confess your sin honestly, calling it by the worst name possible, and believing that Christ died on that cross for your sin, and say, Lord, I believe I'm cleansed. Just as you humbled yourself to the utmost before God, now you must be bold before the devil and have confidence before God and say, and the devil says, but you got angry yesterday. That's fine. I called it murder, and I confessed my murder to God, and He forgave me. The blood of Jesus cleansed me from that murder I committed yesterday, which people call anger, but I call murder. Because Jesus called it murder. And God's cleansed me. Murderer like me, He's cleansed. Like the murderer on the cross, I can walk with Jesus in paradise. That is peace with God. You see, we don't deal radically with sin. We don't call sin by the worst possible name. We put part of the blame on the others. That's why we've had this messy type of Christian life so far. Shall we be a little more radical there this year? With sin? See sin as nailing Jesus to the cross. That anger is, God, Jesus, I'm going to hammer you to the cross. That lusting after a woman is nailing Jesus to the cross. Look at it like that. I'm sure the devil doesn't want you to look at it like that, because he wants you to keep on living like that, living like that, living like that. One day you'd slip away from your salvation completely and land in his lap in hell. And I don't want that to happen to you. That's why I speak strongly. The worst thing in the world is sin. Jesus need not have come into this world if we were only sick or poor. God could have solved up poverty and sickness problems without Jesus dying on the cross. You know that? This deceptive health, wealth gospel. Why did Jesus have to die if all that God wanted was to make us rich and healthy? There was no need for Jesus to die. He died only because of sin, no other reason. God would never have sent His Son into the world to heal the sick and die on the cross for that. Or to make poor people rich, to die on the cross for that. It was only for sin. I need to see that. I need to focus it. It's sin, it's sin, it's sin, my sin, that nailed Him to the cross. And so I want to hate it this year, and I want to have peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Take that seriously, brother, sister. The first area of peace. If you don't have that type of peace with God, then these other two areas I'm going to speak about will not work in your life. We need to have peace with God clearly, first of all, and be established in that, that all my past sins are forgiven, that I'm clothed with the righteousness of Christ, that I stand before God with boldness, that I can look straight into the face of God Almighty, whom the angels have to cover their face from. I can look into His face because the blood of Christ has made me bold. Don't ever go before God with your face hanging down. That means there's some guilt still in your life. Or you don't believe what God has said, that He's declared you righteous. One of the two. So we must always be able to look at our Heavenly Father with an open face. Every day of this year, I want that. Even if some of you have messed up your life. I want to tell you there's more power in the blood of Jesus Christ than all the mess you made of your life. You can be cleansed so thoroughly that you can look at a holy, holy, holy God straight in the face.